This episode is sponsored by Clairol Natural Instincts. If you're thinking about trying a new look, then give this semi-permanent hair colour a go at home. It only takes 20 minutes.
Which isn't just a gift to busy mums like us, Wend, but as someone who had only ever used semi-permanent colour on their hair.
Hang on, why?
Well, fewer root issues and it's kinder to your hair overall. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to give this one a whirl. It lasts for 28 washes, apparently.
No way. You can tell me more about it later. Now, on with the podcast.
You're listening to Sweat, Snot and Tears, brought to you by Netmums. I'm Annie O'Leary.
And I'm Wendy Gollidge. And together we talk about all of this week's sweaty, snotty and tearful parenting moments.
With guests who are far more interesting than we are.
Welcome to another episode of Sweat, Snot and Tears. I hope all bodily fluids are missing from your life today. I'm in the office and it feels tray weird. Like, nice weird because I've got a frock on and I don't have to listen to my husband eating crisps while I do my work or find my daughter's veruca sock between meetings. But also a bit sad weird, Wend, because there's no one really else here from my team. Why aren't you here with me?
Oh, sorry. I'm not here because we have to go and look at a secondary school tonight.
That's a really big kid thing to do.
So the logistics of getting into London and getting back in time to take a 10-year-old to a secondary school were not feasible. So I am not there. I'm sorry.
And is this one you want her to go to or one that you're going to wave in front of her face and then go, oh, but it was horrible, wasn't it?
This is the one we want her to go to. So I'm going to be on Operation PR, the school, tonight.
Well, interesting insight into this. So I had a cup of tea with a mum friend the other day and she was going to look at school and she said, but obviously we don't want him to go to it. So we'll just accidentally leave it off the form, pretend we applied and he'll just think that he never got the one that he wanted.
Really?
I was like, that's a really... I know, I'm not going to name any names. I'm not going to tell you who she is. But don't you think that's quite a harsh thing to do? I really hope she's not listening to this.
Quick, introduce the guest. Quick.
Well, let's ask that question of today's guest. We've got a comedian, writer and actress all in one person and also author of a new book, the brilliantly titled Drinking Custard, Diary of a Confused Mum. Lucy Beaumont, welcome to Sweat, Snot and Tears. How confused are you feeling today on a scale of 1 to 10?
I think I'm about 8. I'm normally around 8 anywhere and... my whole life.
Being so confused. A feeling we can empathise with.
A kindred soul. So any sweaty, snotty or teary moments in the Beaumont house this morning, Lucy?
Yeah, definitely snotty and a bit teary. She's just completed, so this will be her second week. Second week at school, so... She hated it to start with, and it was traumatic. It was more traumatic for me. I couldn't settle. I had to go back to school and look through the window, check she was all right without anyone seeing me. And I think she's
hilarious.
And I think she's sort of enjoying it now, but she wants to carry on making me feel bad.
You looked through the window, did she look all right, or did she still look teary and sniffly?
But I couldn't actually see her.
So you actually could get done for staring at other people's kids through the window?
I think they move classrooms because I didn't recognise any of the children.
So. They knew you were coming. They hid her away.
Yeah, but my mum did the same. And it was only when I got home, I thought, oh my God, I've done it. My mum always said that I'd do that and I never believed her. But my first week at school, she hid behind a bush when it was dinner time to look at me in the canteen.
This is amazing.
Did you see her or did someone tell you that your mum's hiding?
A group of children came up to inform me that she was in a bush.
Brilliant. Just what you need on your first day at school, isn't it?
I know.
Oh, I love it. So has she started to realise this is for good yet? Or is she still think she's only got to go for a week or so and then...
She has done that thing, you know, where you say, no, it's more. This isn't a holiday, this is a weekend and you go back again. She doesn't get it yet. I'm glad she doesn't quite... Because I said, this is what you'll do till you're 16. And I don't think she can... I'm close to just homeschooling her, to be honest. It just feels such a long time. It's mad, isn't it? Because my mum used to keep me off school, which is why I've got bad grammar and still bad at telling the time,
I think. But keep you off for what?
Well, she used to say, oh, don't go today, stay with me. And we used we used to actually go to a betting shop. There was a cafe in a betting shop on Hesel Road. And we used to go, I mean, they did amazing chips and gravy, which I suppose you would expect when we used to go there a lot.
So are you good at mornings as a mum, or are you more like me and it's a bit haphazard?
I know. I mean, we've got one child and I don't try to make her... make her do anything herself, so she doesn't even notice that she's got ready. So she watches TV and I get her ready, and then she's just ready, and I brush her teeth for her, and I feed her breakfast, and I find that that's I find that that's working, not to ask her to do anything.
But Lucy, I hate to break it to you, when she's 12, you're not going to be able to do this anymore.
No, I know, yeah, but at the moment, so she's sort of She doesn't even realise that she's, like, in her school uniform walking out the door, because it's all happened quite smoothly.
Maybe this is the tactic.
Well, also, I'm thinking if someone could do that for me, I would be much happier starting the day. I think I might need to speak to my husband about this.
I can tell you, knowing your husband right now, that the answer to that is going to be a big fat no. But see, when you've got, if another baby Beaumont comes along, Lucy, you'll be scuppered, because there'll be no way that you can be secretly dressing her and her not knowing. You'll be like, put your bloody shoes on!
Oh, yeah, but there's not going to be any more. The next one's going to be fairy. And
sensible.
Yeah. Going to have a collar and a lead.
Yeah. I think that's the most sensible choice.
We love our child and we adore it, but we I don't think we're cut out for this. we're just a bit neurotic and a bit unorganized, and I love the idea. I love, especially when sometimes my daughter gravitates more to her husband than me, and I think, oh, I'd like to have another one to see if the other one loves me more, and then I can play, and then it'll be equal.
It's a dangerous experiment to take part in, though.
But I don't think logistically it's going to work. I think we'll just stick with the one. So mornings so far are all right. They are, but I mean, I know, I understand how it is for most parents are literally tearing their hair out, aren't they?
Oh,
in the morning.
I hilariously, the other day, I was walking back from school after drop-off, and I walked past the dad of the triplets. There's three triplets in Flo's class, there's seven. And the triplets all looked pretty upset, and he looked so angry. I thought, like, smoke was going to start coming out of his nose, and I could just hear him saying, when I say get ready in future, that means get ready. None of this wandering about, not listening to anything anyone's saying. I was like, he's had a morning of it.
I'm really pleased you just told us there were three triplets there, Annie. Thanks.
Sorry, I just like to make things clear. I just like to make it clear for everyone involved.
So, Lucy, why a book about being a mum? You're more known for talking about Hull, really, than parenthood.
Yeah, I mean, I do talk about Hull in the book.
Don't stop talking about Hull, by the way. We like it.
It was lockdown, and I had an idea for a little adult funny book, a small, like, pocket book about an invisible frog. And the frog, like, had a voice a bit like Les Dawson, and and it was a mum on the verge of alcoholism, really, and the frog sort of kept her going, and I approached the publisher with it, and he said no.
Really?
Yeah, he said,
that's surprising, Lucy.
Yeah, but he said it in a really nice way. And he said, why don't you write a proper book about parenting? And he said, you could put your weird little story in it if you want. And I said, all right. And I thought, wow, gosh, no one else has had this idea. It's lockdown. Why not write a book, you know, to pass the time away? And then I have realised how everybody has done the same thing. But I absolutely loved it. And it did really keep me going through lockdown. I'd kept a diary about being a mum, and I thought it'd be lovely to share this. And I did an Edinburgh show again about being a mum, And I really wanted to put the two together because I felt there was so many anecdotes and stories that were funny. But when I started writing it, I think because I wrote it on a night, I was just very honest. I think there's something about writing on an evening after my daughter was in bed. And I found actually that it was almost like therapy because I didn't try to make the birth fun. I didn't try to make everything funny. The birth, it was good for me to just say exactly how I felt. And so I felt I was just being quite honest. And I didn't know who would read it, if it would be just a book for parenting or if other people had found it interesting. But I just tried to be honest, really. So sometimes I think it is funny and sometimes, I think sometimes I am more honest. And yes, yeah, so I love the form. I didn't know if I'd take to it, to be honest. And it's made me want to carry on writing books. I'd like to write a novel next, fiction.
Is the fog going to be in the novel? Please tell
me
the fog.
Say yes.
I think so. Well, she's now moved to Crete, the woman in it, and she's living with someone, a younger man that she's met, and they've opened up a burger bar. So I don't know if maybe I could continue. I mean, I don't know. It was maybe something to do with lockdown. Maybe my mental state.
Maybe a little bit mad. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the fact it sounded like Les Dawson. That's just superb. I once, do you know, as a child,
go on,
I really had a thing. I hated Les Dawson. He totally freaked me out as a kid.
Because of his rubbery face.
Yeah, my nan, God love her, loved Les Dawson. And once we were in a chip shop in Bath and Les Dawson was in the chip shop in Bath.
No.
And my nan was all like, "Oh, it's Les Dawson. Would you go up and speak to him?" And I apparently, in my slightly gobshitey way, said, "I hate him. I'm not going to see him." And he heard me. So poor.
And what did
Les
he say?
Dawson. I don't know. I was six. I don't remember. But I offended
Les
Dawson.
Why was he in a chip shop in Bath?
Well, yeah. I don't know. I refused to go and talk to him, so I couldn't ask him.
That's going to bother me. I'm going to be Googling that tonight. Why was Les Dawson in the chip shop in Bath in 1986?
He was just eating some chips.
Wow.
He was quite happy.
Maybe that could work its way into your book, Lucy, because burger bar, chip shop, similar.
Les Dawson, fog. Right,
the
there
frog
we go.
Opens up a chip shop.
Yeah.
Let's move away from the fog. Annie, away from the fog.
Okay, so the next thing I want to know is, right, why do you work so much with your husband? So people might have heard of your husband. It's John Richardson. Why and how do you do it without killing each other?
Oh, no, we do kill each other. Sometimes it's better because we argue on screen, so we cannot be bothered to argue when we get home. And we're getting paid to argue. And sometimes it's quite nice because we're airing our dirty laundry, but getting paid for it. I mean, if we weren't getting paid for it, obviously we wouldn't do it. We're not working with each other for the love of it. Do you know? Let's put it that way.
There's an incentive.
It's lucrative, yeah, to work together.
Okay, well, thank you for honestly answering that question.
I love it.
Now, back to colouring my hair again. I'm thinking about going darker. What do you think, Wend? And doing it myself with Clairol Natural Instincts. All I need to do is to decide which of the 18 shades to pick.
Totally agree. Spending hours in a hairdresser would be lovely, but it just never seems to happen.
Exactly, which is why I'm loving the sound of Clairol Natural Instincts. Their semi-permanent conditioning colour promises to give me shiny, swooshy hair in just 20 minutes.
And it contains coconut oil and it contains aloe vera, so it feels very treat-like and it even works on my crazy curly hair.
Exactly. No roots, just shininess and general fabulousness.
What's not to love?
Consider it a hair win. Now, on with the podcast.
So, as a mum, I certainly know as a mum that it's my other mum friends who keep me sane and feed me wine when I need it. Do you have a kind of go-to support gang of other parents, you and John, or is it kind of school friends? Who props you up when you want to kill someone?
Yeah, I think we have... I'm just starting to make school friends, and and I can already tell they're love, you know, they're nice. But I think we still gravitate to our old friends, most of whom have had children and around the same age, if you know what I mean. So, yeah, that's who we go to. And mostly it's quite good because they, like, just tell us to lighten up. They're just a lot more relaxed, so that it's good to be around them. I think we treat it with kid gloves and we worry about everything and we try to overcompensate. Because usually in a relationship, there's one person who's a bit more chilled out, isn't there?
Yeah.
Chills the other one out. But we're not. We're both highly strung.
Oh, no.
So we do lean on our friends.
And is Elsie as highly strung as you two?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, totally, yeah.
Oh, I'm looking forward to the teenage years. This is going to be hysterical.
I know, she's not going to live with us. She's not going to live with us then. She'll have moved out.
Is it boarding school?
Oh, no, we're too working class for that. I wish, I really wish. She'd probably just go and stay with her nana.
I'm glad that you're planning ahead for this. Now, when you get together with this kind of support group of people who calm you down, is it more of a tea and biscuits kind of calming down session or a 12 espresso martinis and a dance on the table kind of thing?
No, luckily, the people who gravitate towards me are mums who think it's acceptable to have a can of gin and tonic in a park at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, Wendy's nodding.
When I've had play dates and the mums have come round and I've said, what would you like to drink? When they say just a water, then they never come back again. They're not invited round.
I hear you, sister.
If they say, I want a dry martini, you're like, yeah, you can stay.
It just takes the edge off if everyone's just... Obviously, I don't like getting drunk in front of her, but just if there's a few kids in the house, you need something to just take the edge off the noise, don't you? Do you know?
My lovely friend Kelly used to say to me that she had to have just one glass at bath time to take the edge off because bath time was always such a shit show. It was just like, just one, take the edge off, little glass of wine.
Yeah, I used to do that just when I stopped breastfeeding. I was so elated to stop breastfeeding. Just before bedtime, we used to go down to a wine bar, me and my daughter, and I used to have a porn star martini. And I used to feed her one of those Ella's Kitchen, you know, with the pouch. Yeah. I'd have the martini in one hand and be squeezing that into her mouth in the other hand. And I met a lot of friends there, actually, sort of like a sisterhood of women who dare do that, but were, you know,
you knew they were your people. Yeah.
Yeah. And that took the edge off. Well, a porn star martini is good because obviously it levels you out, but there's a lot of sugar in that. So you are able to do bedtime really quickly, I found.
I'm glad you've thought about the nutrient profile of the drinks. It's very, very impressive. Now, how do you think Elsie's going to remember you when she grows up? What do you think she's going to remember about her childhood?
Oh, I mean, I hope she's grateful because she's got an idyllic childhood. I mean, amazing. She really has. And I just don't want to be one of them parents that goes, oh, you know, I didn't have it like this. I don't want to, like, take her to the house I used to live in so she could feel guilty about where she lives. I hope I try to, like, nip that in the bud. But no, I think she better be grateful. I tell you what.
Damn it, she better
if be. If she finds, I think sometimes, because she's, I think she can be overly dramatic about things because she's got nothing to worry about. I think she's actually going to be mad. If me and John stay together, I think she's going to be mad that we've made it too nice for her. Because that's the thing as well, you know. I mean, some of the adults that I know that are most off the rails had a very, you know, balanced upbringing. I'm actually worried that there isn't enough drama that goes on in the house.
Maybe you could invent some.
Yeah, create some.
Well, there's still time, I suppose, for it to... for it to happen naturally. But no, I think we've got to try and get the balance right. What's very strange, that's a new thing that I can't really share with anyone because none of my friends have that experience, is people stopping and asking for pictures and treating us differently in front of her. And she's never noticed it before.
And now she does, and sort of gets upset if she can't be in the picture or doesn't quite understand why. So this is a new thing we've got to try and get our head around.
They used to do it with John, but Elsie was a baby and they didn't really do it with me. So I would maybe just, you know, carry on walking. But now they do it with both of us. And this is interesting. It's sort of putting me off wanting to be on TV. You know, just to try and make her life normal.
Yeah, how do you explain it to her?
Yeah.
We say, can you just go and stand over there?
Go and stand in the corner. No one's interested in you, love.
But are you going to try and keep her face off of social media and that kind of thing? Are you going to keep her out of the limelight?
We don't do that. We've never, ever put a picture of her on. She was in the first series of Meet the Richardsons. And when we watched it, we became very anxious watching it, seeing her little face on TV. So the second series, she was just in it like once or twice. And then this one, you never see her apart from the credits. You see the back of her head, and that feels a bit better for us, you know. Whether we're in the future, I don't know what she'll do in the future, but yeah, I feel relaxed about. We talk about her a lot, and I think that's okay. But yeah, it's really important not to make her a personality. It's hard. It's really hard, and it's each to their own, isn't it? I think some parents do want to share the family on social media, but for us, yeah, we feel more relaxed not doing that. But it's you don't think of this when you have a child. Actually, you don't think, you know, how much do you involve them in this world, and you worry, you know, what are they going to be like when they're older. But yeah, hopefully she'll also see that she's had a lot of nice holidays. It's worked out all right.
So what's next for Lucy? You finished drinking custard, and you might not have finished being confused, but you've written about being confused. And you've said you quite like the idea of another book, but what else? What's next?
Well, I've just finished a Channel 4 series that's going to be on after Christmas called Hull Racers.
Called what?
Hull Racers. it's back to talking about Hull. There's no frogs in it. I co-wrote that with Anne-Marie O'Connor, brilliant writer. She's from Bradford, so we got along very well. We was like kindred spirits, really. We basically had the same childhood. So that's going to be out. And then we've just finished filming another series of Meet the Richardsons. So that's out. So now it's more thinking about what's next. I'm sort of developing a few ideas. But it's nice to just go back to being a mum and not be as busy for a while. I don't know. That's the answer. I don't know what's next yet, which is a lovely way to be. Because I got the live stuff. So whenever I get a break from this, I go back into just doing, you know, live comedy, turning up at gigs and stuff. So that's good to keep my hand in there, because I am missing doing live. I mean, that's where I started out. I was just a very odd stand-up. Like, I was a bit niche. Half the audience would like it and half wouldn't understand what was going on. So I'm hoping to get back to that, really. I miss that.
With three quarters of the audience liking it, maybe, instead of half going
oh,
up.
It was definitely half and half. They either felt sorry for me or laughed. It was one or the other, because my legs used to shake, you see.
Oh!
Yeah.
Do they not shake anymore?
Oh, yeah, no, they still do, yeah. I'm just a little bit better at covering it up. That's why I used to always have a handbag to put my hand in to stop me shaking.
Now, what we all really want to know is, what's for tea and who's cooking? Is it you or John?
Oh, we just don't really know till whoever can be bothered, really, when we get to it. Where we've moved to, there's more on offer, takeaway-wise. We've been having, you know, they're from restaurants, so we've been having a lot. We need to stop that, really, but... yeah, it's whoever's in the mood, basically. So I've no idea. We're like, he's a vegan and I'm a bad vegan that eats meat. So it's sometimes tricky to work out what to eat.
You're a vegan who eats meat. Mm.
Yeah, but only when I need it. Do you know what I mean? I have mostly vegan diet, but if I fancy meat or fish or cheese, I will have it. because I think that is your body craving it.
It's good to keep your options open on these things.
Yeah, definitely.
Right, last question, Wend, over to you.
Lucy, you're going to love this. I want you to imagine that Annie and I are Elsie and that you're tucking us into bed and we'd like you to sing us your lullaby, please.
Because we know everyone has a go-to song that they sing to their kids when they can't sleep.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a lot.
We've got time. That's fine.
Yeah, don't worry. Don't you rush now. Just take your time.
She likes... she likes that one... it was a ballad from... So I can never remember songs from Disney or stuff. You know, that's what she wants. So I lie and tell her that songs, like, you know, like 80s ballads are from Disney. She thinks... She thinks Christa Berg, Lady in Red, is from Beauty and the Beast.
It would work brilliantly in Beauty and the Beast. Why has no one thought of this?
Well, I tried to... Because I know it goes... I know the original got like, Tale as Old as Time, when that little teapot sings, but I can't remember anymore, so I just moved in to... to never seen you looking so lovely as you did tonight. And then she said, which one's singing that? And I said, the Beast is singing that. never seen you shine so bright. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Never seen so many men ask you if you wanted to dance. I sing it like that. Looking for a little romance. Lady in Red. And then she says, is that Beauty singing that? I said, yeah, Beauty singing that. I'm the Lady in Red. And then she says, but her dress was blue. And I said, shh, go to sleep. Shut up.
I'm so going to copy this strategy. Yeah. It's so clever. They'll never know.
She's in for a big shock at some point.
Yeah, total eclipse of the heart. I said that
was
from
Diana. Oh, that's the one we want. That's what we want.
Oh, my face hurts from laughing.
Totally. I can't remember that. Oh, no. It was laying in my bed, I hear the clock ticking. Think of, you know, time after time. Time after time, if you look and you look and you will find me. And she goes, are you sure this is from Moana? Yeah, where she's running on the beach. Time after time, if you fall, I will catch you. I will be waiting. Time and then she's usually asleep and I carry on with them.
Gosh, Lucy, I'm actually weeping.
Oh, this is epic. I really want to be there when she watches these films and waits for the songs to come on and they never do.
But then she'll say, like, can you sing one from Paw Patrol? So it's like, then I usually do, you know, like Adele, like, someone like you, I had never... Because I just don't know, anyway.
I don't think anyone knows Paw Patrol, but I am genuinely weeping, Lucy. You've made me laugh so much.
Oh, Lucy, dear. Thank you so much. You've made
Please
our
don't
day.
Go.
I'm glad that the tears this morning are happy tears.
Oh, mine are.
And I will never listen to Lady in Red in the same way again.
It should be Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, Lucy, thank you for being such a wonderful guest. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for being brilliant.
To talk to you.
And I hope Elsie continues to enjoy school, even if she's pretending she hates it.
And her mum's in a bush.
Thank you. And I hope you have better school runs. And the guy with triplets does.
Right, have a great day, Lucy. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.